Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
In this life, listen, let's be honest, we want security, we want our life to be settled, we want to feel like everything is dialed in. It will never be that, because this is not home. Security and settledness is found only in our actual home, which is Christ, and those senses that we have here of security should not come from this place, but should come from Christ alone. Strength in Christ is more secure than any confidence you can have in this place.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. The phrase, "there's no place like home," is a common and calming expression. And as comforting a thought as it might seem initially, this place has never been a home for those claiming citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Just as God was not only leading the Israelites out of Egypt, but also unto himself, Pastor Greg reminds us during today's study in Exodus how a new life in Christ includes an eternal home and a new belonging in him.
Exodus 13, beginning in verse 17. The people of Israel are kicked out of the land of Egypt. So they're just beginning. They just started. They haven't yet been out there long enough to realize they don't have any food and they don't have any idea where they're going. Really what this is the beginning of a new life. And that's exactly what the title of our message today is, a new life. A new life. And the Israelites, of course, are going to be bothered by the fact that their new life is starting off different than they expected. So this is the first thing we need to recognize. A new life in the Lord is never what we expect. Let me qualify that a little bit in case you're getting a little concerned. It's never, 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 ever, ever, never what we expect. Imagine maybe what the Israelites were thinking. Well, we just left the land of Egypt, the most wealthy and powerful nation on planet Earth. What's the big deal of walking through Philistine country? God can just wipe them out as we walk along. Just a rain of plagues in front of us. I mean, he told us not to bring any food, so our expectation will be, well, we should be in the promised land by Thursday. Wouldn't you be thinking that if God told you not to pack any food? Oh, okay, we're going to be in the land of milk and honey, living in a house we did not build, eating from a field we did not plant, drinking wine from a vineyard we did not cultivate in a week or two. Does God have any intention on getting them into the promised land by Thursday? No. And this new life in God is not what they expect at all. Going the long way, because they were vulnerable, because they were weak, not because they were weak and the Philistines might defeat them. What's God's concern? He says this, lest the people change their minds and return to Egypt. What's the worst thing that could happen in God's mind? That they be wiped out by the Philistines? That they starve out in the wilderness? No, not a problem. What's the worst thing that could happen? They could return to the land of their slavery, Egypt. Because they get out into their new life with God, and it's not what they expect. And God wants to take them in a long way that they might build their strength and remain in him. God's intention is for the people to find God himself. And where is God residing at this point? Out in the wilderness. Verse 19 of Exodus 13. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, God will surely visit you, and you will carry my bones with you from here. Okay, that's weird. Why is Joseph asking them to make sure that his final resting place is not in Egypt? God used Joseph's position to save the people of Israel from starvation and establish them in Egypt. And he made them promise this, when I die, God is going to deliver you from this land. Do not bury me here. I want you to make sure my bones are taken from Egypt and bury them with my father and his father in the promised land. Joseph was living in the second nicest house in Egypt. He had servants. He had food. He had the nicest cars. He went to the biggest premieres. And Joseph wanted to communicate in no uncertain terms, I'm not from here. And I want to be buried in my land. the land where real joy is, the land where real happiness is, the land where God is, and it's not this place. The promised land is better than Egypt, Joseph was communicating. As good as he had it, he wanted to be clear, Egypt is not as good as the land, the place that has God's covenant promise, which is the promised land. In this life, this new life, it will always be better than our old life here. This is a message that's repeated throughout the Old Testament. I'm just going to reference a couple of verses so we see this working out in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 2:11, Peter says this, "Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, those who don't belong here, this is not your home." What's it say? "I say this that you might abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." I love this. Here's the thing. He says, live here as those who don't belong here, and do so that you might not exercise the passions of your flesh. Here's how we want to read this. We live in this land as foreigners because it's going to make us naughty. So we're going to build big fences around our church and make sure we don't touch the world, right? Because the world's going to make us bad. What's it say? Where does the bad come from? Did you notice? The passions of your flesh that wage against your soul. As one author puts it this way, then the sin inside of you is worse than the sin that's out there. He's telling us to live differently in this world, to live as those who have a citizenship in another place, so therefore walk away from the passions of our own flesh, the desires that are contrary to the desires of this world. This place is not our home. This place is not our kingdom. This place does not offer us anything permanently. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Down in verse 22 of Hebrews 11, "By faith, Joseph at the end of his life made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave them directions about his bones, his remains." He says, I know this isn't our land. I know God's going to get us out of Egypt, as nice as it is. I don't want to be here. Make sure to bury me somewhere else. How long was it between Joseph and the Exodus? Any guesses? 400 years. Every now and then somebody would walk by his bone box. That day's coming. That day's coming. God's going to get us out of here because Joseph didn't put this in the ground. He left it up on top so we have easy access to it. Keep it on a shelf right there. So on your way out, just grab it. A new life is always better than our old life. This world has a lot to offer that's really good, doesn't it? I've made mention one of my favorite things on planet Earth is central heating and air conditioning. I love it. Sometimes I'll turn the heat way up just because I can. I can make it hot. Some things are really good. Other things are not good. This world can feed the appetites we already have. The world doesn't give them to us. We already have them. There are plenty of things in this world that are fantastic. There are plenty of things in this world that will destroy us. Our home is better than all of it. The best this world has to offer is not even close to as good as the worst our home has to offer. And there is nothing in our home that will ever harm us. It all will bring glory to God. It will all be from the Lord, and it will all be better. In this life, listen, let's be honest. We want security. We want our life to be settled. We want to feel like everything is dialed in. It will never be that, because this is not home. All those things, security and settledness and a homeness, is found only in our actual home, which is Christ. And those senses that we have here of settledness and security should not come from this place, but should come from Christ alone. Strength in Christ is more secure than any confidence you can have in this place. Last verse in this section, and we'll conclude with the last section. John chapter 6, verse 66. Jesus was preaching and doing what he was really, really good at, and that was making big crowds small. He felt like too many people were flocking around him for the free lunches and healings. So then he told them the truth, which he always did, but he unvarnished it. Verse 66, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." What? So Jesus turned to the 12. "You guys going to leave too? You guys bouncing? You out?" Look what Peter says in verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." See, we find this in Christ, this new life that's always better than our old life, when somehow the Spirit does that in our hearts, where we go, where else would I go? We go on that roadmap to hope, which is suffering and endurance and character, and sometimes it gets frustrating, and sometimes we fail, and sometimes it feels like it's too hard, and you want to just get out, and finally you say to yourself, where else am I going to go? It may be hard, it may be difficult, it may be frustrating, but He has the words of life. He is the Holy One of Israel. A new life. What do we say first? It's never what we expect. Secondly, it's always, always better than our old life. Okay, let's look at Exodus 13, 20 through 22, and we'll end with these verses. So Israel moved on from Succoth. They encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them, and by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, which I think would have been really, really cool. Gave them light at night that they might travel by day and by night. And the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. A new life. Never alone. A new life. Never again alone. A study was done by some researchers, and they had upperclassmen at a university. They said, describe to us some of the things that caused you stress as a new student at college. And so these upperclassmen would write stories of the difficulties of acclimating to a life at university. So then what they did is they brought in some underclassmen, and they said, listen, what we want you to do is read these stories from upperclassmen about the difficulties of college life, and then write out your own stories of the challenges you're facing today. And so the students did that. And what they told these underclassmen was, we're going to bring in some students and do some research on those students to find out what they think of between these two stories. What they didn't tell the underclassmen was they were actually the subjects of the study. They said, okay, we can do that. So they write those out. They then tested those students over the years. This is what they found out. To read stories of other people's difficulties and to share stories of our own difficulties, it turned out their ability to deal with stress was improved 100-fold for up to 2 years later. And they said, why does that happen? It's because these students, in hearing stories from others and sharing their own stories, had a sense of what? Belonging. I have a place here. I have a place. I am no longer alone on campus. I have a shared story with those who are on campus. I'm no longer alone. And what God is telling the people of Israel, your time being without me, our stories now are going to coincide. We're going to have a shared life together. You will never be alone again. God will travel with them and show them where to go, where to stop. He will be their light. He will be their protection. And this will never end. This is a spectacular demonstration of God's power, of God's leading, of God's protection. Anytime, day or night, a person, if they were feeling a little stressed out, could walk out to the door of their tent, look at the column of fire, and say, okay, God's here. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of nice? Now, we've got to be honest, we're no different in Israel. It wouldn't help us much either. We'd say about, oh, you're a column of fire. That's very helpful, God. It's the middle of summer. Be nice. Column of air conditioning would be nice. That's what we would do. Serious. I only say that because that's what happens throughout the entire Bible. Every time people have the special presence of God, we take it for granted. And that's what we would do too. Here's the thing. God has said to the people of Israel, and He has said to us, I am taking you on an all-expense-paid journey to find me and my presence, and that will culminate in us getting home. And God says this, I will be deciding where we go, when we stop, and the route we take. You will never be alone, but you will go where I am leading you. This is what the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. Gee, thanks, Greg. Hey, I didn't write it. One thing I need to make us understand as we read that passage, it is for discipline. Discipline here is not punishment. A better way of understanding that would be training. Being taught the right way to go. Really, the discipline here is how a coach trains an athlete, not the way a parent punishes a child. It's more of a connotation of training than it is punishment. There's a bit of understanding it's suffering as a result of failure, but it's training more than it is getting justice. So it says here, God is treating you as sons. What son is there whose father doesn't discipline him or teach him the way to go? We don't enjoy our fathers or our mothers or our parents training us. But if you really think about it, at the end of our life, we're grateful that they did. And we're also hurt when they don't. And so what God is saying is here, I am going to take you on the road where you are going to be trained to understand the value of your new home and to understand what I am doing in your life, to understand His presence in our life. He is going to take us on the shortest road to Him, the longest road in our life, though. And it's going to be training that we are going to have to endure. During that time where God is working in our life to take us through whatever we need to do to find Him most close in our life, when does He leave us? He never leaves us. He is always with us. The people of Israel were on the edge of the wilderness. God had led them away from Philistines down into the Red Sea. What He has done is now put them in the most vulnerable position. Most people would say they were now in a trap. Now when Egypt comes to pursue them, they have absolutely nowhere to go. If they were going to the Philistines, the Egyptians might have pause, because they know if they go to attack the Israelites, the Philistines might come down and repel them. But now that Israel has moved over by the Red Sea, what do the Egyptians have to fear? Nothing. They get to go attack Israel. When they're done, they get the day at the beach. This is not a problem. Israel, God has now led them into a trap, and He's doing this on purpose. It is to help them to understand, I am with you, and that is better than anything you might find in this life, because you discover you are never alone. A couple of things on this about our relationship with God. When we find God for salvation by faith in Christ, I need you to know this, you are joining His life. He is not joining yours. God is drawing you into the life that He has, the story He is telling of redemption, the reconciling of all things to Himself. You are joining His life and His story. He is not now coming into yours going, oh boy, I'm so dull saving the world. I'm glad I get to finally do something fun and hang out with you in your life. He is calling your life out of your life into His life. We are joining Him and what He is up to. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, we want to get saved. That's good. Jesus is what? What's it say? Lord. Okay, we need to grapple with this. Your salvation is not a democracy. Jesus is, what's the word? Genie. Jesus is a genie in the bottle. If we're able to do the right rituals, be good enough, yeah, that rubs the bottle, and then He'll give us stuff we want. No, Jesus is not a genie. That's a lame Savior. Jesus is grumpy. If I do so many bad things, Jesus can make my life miserable. So Jesus is not a Lord. He's just really short-tempered. No, that's not what it says either. What it says is Jesus is Lord, which is this. He's totally in charge. And when we come into life in Him, what we're acknowledging is, God, You are totally in charge of every aspect of my life. A recognition of Jesus' authority. Jesus having lordship over the entire cosmos does not take away from His closeness. We can be close intimately with the Lord of all things, but He will always be leading us down the road of, I am Lord of all things. I am totally in charge. Jesus is Lord. And that actually should be a source of peace for us. We finally don't have to figure things out. But it does mean we have to be willing to agree with Him that His ways are good and our ways are not. You are joining His life. God is not joining your life. Secondly, in finding the Lord, we need to realize our life does not just need a little improving. We need a whole new life. Our life doesn't need a tune-up from the Lord. We need to die with Jesus and be raised with a whole brand new life. A new life in the Lord. Never what we expect. Always better than our old life. Never alone. Israel was learning this. They're leaving Egypt. This new life in the Lord is going to be better than their old life. But where is God? He's out in the wilderness. That's not what they expected. Their new life with the Lord is always going to be better than Egypt. But it means day in and day out, they're going to have to trust God to provide what's needed just for today. And that's going to be difficult. They want control of this whole year. Of this whole time. And God's going to say, I'm going to give you just enough food for today. It's better than your old life, but it means you don't get to be in charge. And finally, a new life, we will never be alone because God is always with us. All right, just a couple of application questions that you might think about. Are you ready? We'll close with this. Are you ready in your life with Christ for the unexpected? Are you ready in your life in Christ for the unexpected? Or are you hoping that your life in Christ will get somewhere closer to what you expect? It's going to be a challenge, but our new life in Christ is never what we expect. So a couple of things. Be encouraged, okay? Christians, a couple of things on this. In your life in Jesus, has it ever left you sort of shaking your head going, what in the world is going on? Anybody? Is it just me? It's going to be weird if it's just me. Shake your head going, Lord, this is my favorite prayer. Have you ever prayed this one? Really? I mean, seriously? Who's prayed that one? Okay, but now you've got that in your repertoire if you haven't prayed it yet. Guess what? We learned today. That's a great place to be. God's doing something consistent with His Word when I wake up every morning and go, what in the world is going on? I'm going to have to cling to Jesus pretty hard today because this is crazy. You're not missing the boat then. You finally found it then. Okay, second thing. Our new life is always better than our old life. Maybe we need to take a look in our heart and examine by the power of the Spirit where our passions lie. What gets our heart racing? Is it the frail, broken down things of this place that are fun for a little bit and then after a while we need something different? Or is God going to do a work in our heart where the things that make our heart race are eternal things? Seeing new life in those who don't know Christ. Seeing sin worked out of our own life. Seeing the work of Christ in our heart where we're coming to Him more in prayer because we depend on Him more. Do we celebrate the fact that maybe this week we have a deeper hunger for the truth of God's Word than we did for that last week? Where do our passions lie? And we have to agree with one another and with the Holy Spirit. Our passions lie in so many places that are empty that we might seek the Lord, that He would transform our hearts, that our hearts would race with the things of a kingdom that is yet to come.
Pastor Greg Spires with a fair warning that as believers we're to expect the unexpected along the walk of faith, that we find peace in the destination of the kingdom to come, drawing from Exodus chapter 13 today. And Pastor Greg will return in just a moment to conclude our time together. During these uncertain times that we live in, many people are experiencing fear about life and the future, especially if you read or watch the daily news. But in Pastor Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter, he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is a lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. If you can't attend, we also continue to stream our services online at lastinghope.org. Just go to our website at 9:30 or 11 a.m. on Sunday and click on the link at the top of the website that says Watch Service Live. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Our website also has more information about Lasting Hope and the various ministries of FBC. Again, go to lastinghope.org. Finally, Lasting Hope is committed to bringing people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to know God, we have a special page on our website that will walk you through the steps to knowing God. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link, Knowing God. Now with some final thoughts to close out today's message, here again is Pastor Greg.
Final thing, in our new life, we are never alone. God never leaves us. In Christ, we always belong. I would say this to those of us who still struggle with sin. When there's two kinds of people, those who struggle with sin and those who lie. I would say this to those of you who came in and you really blew it this week, it was bad. As one author said this week, if we knew what you did, you wouldn't have come. You aren't alone. He never left. He still sees you. by the work of Christ, he is still warm towards you. He is still affectionate towards you. He still wants your presence. He still wants to enjoy your company. The enemy is the one who is going to tell you God left you. The Word of God will tell us in Christ, we will never, ever be alone. Last thing, and this is a challenge for those of us who are in Christ and those of us who have not yet found him, is this. We stand at the threshold of the wilderness, and out there is where God is, where life in him is. It's unexpected. It's not like this world. And the question is this, do you want to go? If you have the choice between Egypt and God's presence out there, do you want to go?
Pastor Greg Spires closing out a message called A New Life Here on Lasting Hope. And that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look at the life of Moses with a message titled, Pursuit of a Purpose. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.